Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's pray and get into this today. Father, we want to thank you for just an open heaven during worship where the Spirit of God, Lord, is just here, its presence with us, Father. And I love singing about the presence of God because, Lord, that's what it's all about. We carry your presence with us when we attain it and understand the presence of you in our life, God. It's amazing. And so, Lord, we just come for your word to be ever present with us today. Let it come off the pages. Let it come alive to us and then through us for your glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say,
amen.
All right. I do like talking about the presence of God. And I haven't said this in a while, but I want to re-say it because I know we've got new people over the last year or so. And let me just say, a lot of Christians, we practice the principles of the word of God, or we try to. Now, how many know the principles of God will work success to almost anybody who applies them? Even lost people can have a measure of success when they follow the principles of the Word of God. But I tell you this, the presence of God has never failed. The presence of God is not a measure of success in certain areas. The presence of God is total success. Amen? And we are called to be in His presence 24/7. Amen. So again, the presence of God, there is no failure, there is no mistakes. God is awesome. Amen. But I'm starting a new, brand new series this week, probably be about 3 weeks, called Warring for a Nation. Everybody say that with me. Say, Warring for a Nation. This Saturday is July the 4th, which we call Independence Day. And America will be celebrating our 250th year as a nation. Yeah. Amen. And I want to make sure that you understand that this is no little thing. It is a big thing. And if there's one thing our nation needs back into it, it is the patriotism of our nation. Absolutely. I am 100% born, bred, an American by the grace of God. And I am not ashamed of it, and I will never be ashamed of it. I know our country has a lot of problems, but we're still the greatest nation on planet Earth right now, bar none. Amen? And instead of throwing off on our nation all the time, we need to be building our nation up. Yes, there are problems, and there will be problems till Jesus comes. But let me tell you something. If you have never left the United States and went to a third world country, you don't understand how blessed we are. How many of you have been keeping up with this world soccer thingy? I haven't watched it. I'm not a soccer fan. I'm sorry. Okay. But I know some of you are, and that's great. It's wonderful. But have you watched some of the videos of the foreigners coming over to America? They love it here. And they're like, our media has lied to us about Americans. You guys are awesome. You guys have a Buc-ee's. They're amazed. There are people who've never eaten a brisket sandwich. They've never had barbecue. They've never had nanner pudding. And we think, oh my gosh, really? Yes. And they're not, some of them's from third world, but some of them's from Europe. Europe is not blessed like America is. Amen? One of the funniest ones was, you Americans are so generous. Look, when we order a drink and we drink it, you will come back and fill it up for free. Yeah. Free refills. Amazing. And we take it for granted. We are a blessed nation. thoroughly blessed. Amen. And we have this because over 250 years ago, a group of men and women decided that we will serve and have no king except King Jesus. That's what it was all about. Amen. And I hope we still echo that today, that we will have no king and serve no king except King Jesus. Because the government's trying to become king again. Come on. 250 years. And God has enormously blessed this nation. Enormously. We have the freedom, unlike any other nation in the whole history of this planet, y'all. You are blessed to live in the nation that is the most blessed nation on planet Earth for the whole history of the Earth. Israel can become and has been a blessed nation, but not to the measure America has. Come on. In America, you have, right, Dave, we are experiencing the privilege and freedom to gather together under no threat and worship the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Hallelujah. Right now, there are people who are huddled up worshiping Jesus with us, but constantly looking over their shoulder to see if the government's going to come in and arrest them for doing what we and I get to do. At any moment, their door could be kicked in, they could be seized, put in prison, and beheaded. But they're still worshiping too, because they're willing to lay down their lives to serve this God. We have the freedom. I have the freedom. You have the freedom that we can preach the Word of God in America still. Do you know just a few weeks ago, I believe it was Canada passed a law that you could not declare certain scriptures in public? If you do, you will be arrested. That's just right up there, guys, just north of us. On the streets, and several of them, serve some pastors and street evangelists that's already been arrested. Because they have deemed that hate speech and you cannot declare it outside. Are you with me? So we are still having the freedom to preach the Word of God. One thing you and I have the awesome privilege of is we can own as many of these Bibles as we want. There are countries that cannot own this. They cannot be caught with the presence of a Bible in their own possession. And you and I have it everywhere. But a lot of it's dusty and not used. It's amazing. Amen? And while America over 250 years has been blessed and we've grown in industry, we've grown in inventions, and we've grown definitely militarily. We're the greatest military on planet Earth. And during that time of growth, economic, industrial growth, all kinds of growth, we've reached a peak at one time with Christ, and now it's like we're turning and going the other way. We may be the greatest military on Earth and economic on Earth, but we are becoming weaker spiritually as a nation. It wasn't intended to be that way. Touch your neighbor and say, that ain't how it's supposed to be. And you're going to hear me probably say this more than once. The greatest threat to America is not going to come from overseas. I know everybody's like, ooh, what if this with Iran? What if they launch a nuclear attack? Don't worry about that. We better worry about the state of the nation we're in. Because this nation, the only way America will ever collapse is from within. There is no power that can overtake us right now. Not physically. Come on. There's a comedian, and some of you may have heard this. It's like, even if a foreign nation going to invade America. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we can't be nuked or something like that, but I'm talking about ground invasion. They ain't a country right now that looks at that and goes, let's go do that. You want to know why? Because I love this comedian. He said, because America's got something that no other nation has. It's called rednecks. Amen? And rednecks have lived all their life for such a time as this. They're waiting. They get in camouflage and go out early in the mornings and set in sub-zero weather just to shoot an animal. Think about if war breaks out. You just get what they got in their closets, their gun safes, in their basements, get their pickup truck and go. They're waiting on it. Amen? I like what he said. Another thing, he said, you know, if it breaks out, we find out they're coming in. He said, there'll be a, you know, NASCAR and everything will be racing toward it and everybody. And he said, you know, the Marines will show up about three, four hours later and be like, war's over. Casings are laying everywhere, shotgun shells everywhere. They didn't stand a chance. We're just waiting for it. And as much as people say, man, I'm ready to fight for America, or let it come here on my time, and I'm ready and I'm going to fight in the war and I'm going to fight for the Lord, you won't even come to church half the time for the Lord. You won't get in your Bible on a daily basis and seek the Lord. Somehow I don't trust you in a foxhole. And it's not wrong to be ready, but this is our first line of defense. This is the most important weapon we have against the satanic realm. It's the one designed to fight the battle in the atmosphere and in the spiritual realm where we don't have to come to the guns and the stuff. That's just the intro today. Amen? But it's the spiritual battle that America is fighting. And when we say spiritual battle, we think about it out here in the atmosphere and this right here and this versus this and this. But it's in each individual's heart. Yes, sir. The battles that you and I face every day is the war that we're warring for a nation. Because if we lose the personal battles of morality and sin and conduct and character in our own lives as the church, then our nation is going to follow suit. Yes. Yes. And that's the war we have to win. And first war we got to win is right here. That I am surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the army of the Lord fighting a battle every day to make the right choices, to get the right disciplines in my life that I can reflect the glory of God that leads a nation back to the glory of God. It's going to be a fun series, I'm telling you. Stick around. Now, I found a generation similar to ours, and it's in the book of Judges. It's the story of Joshua. Joshua is the book before Judges, okay? We'll probably go back to Joshua next week and set it up, but I want to go ahead and go straight to Judges this morning. Judges chapter 2, everybody say the Joshua generation. And this is the Joshua generation. That's your first note today. It's just the Joshua generation. I mean, you know, Joshua is a great man of God. Joshua marched around the wall 7 times and the enemy, his walls fell, and they went in and took the plunder. But in Judges chapter 2, verse 7 through 12 is where I want to get to. And verse 10 is really where it all comes together. Let's go ahead and put that scripture up, starting in chapter 2 of verse 7 of Judges. It says, so the people, everybody say, served. They did what, the Lord?
Served.
Doesn't say they just went to church. Doesn't say they just went to the synagogue on Sunday, punched the time card, and clocked out the rest of the time. It said, this generation under Joshua's leadership, they served the Lord. Now watch this. They served all the days of who? In other words, while Joshua was there, they served. And all the days, watch this now. I love this. And all the days of the what? The elders, watch this now, who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works the Lord which he had done for Israel. So not only was it Joshua's leadership and his generation that he taught to serve the Lord, it was the elders he raised up, it was the elders that served with him that also taught that generation. In other words, it ain't up to just one person. You have to develop a network of people to affect the whole congregation, to affect the whole city, to affect the whole state, to affect the whole country, to affect the generation. So it was Joshua and the elders, and then some of the elders outlived Joshua. Okay? Are you with me? Look at the next verse. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was what? 110 years old. That gives me some hope. Amen? Now watch this. Next verse. And they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at the Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gagash. When all the generations, in the verse 10, watch this, when all that generation had been gathered to the fathers, say it with me, another generation arose after that. So we have here a whole generation from the leadership down served. Say it with me again, served. Serve the Lord, a whole generation. And now this generation, the leader has died. And the elders begin to die out, and that generation begins to die out, and another generation's coming up now. Let's read on. Another generation arose after them, watch this now, who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Just a generation. Now, I looked up generation, not in the Greek, because I have heard different things all my life. And biblically, we know that a generation is 40 years. That's biblically, 40 years. But the average lifespan of a person is between 70 and 80, so some people consider that a generation. And then the third generational thing is a generation of a family that you have your kids in the house, and the average of that right now is 25 to 30 years. Used to be between 18 and 20, now it's 25 to 30 a generation. So even if you go with the highest number, 40 years, there are some of you in here, you're not part of my generation. It's not a bad thing, unless you don't continue on with the generational blessings of the Lord. But all it was one generation. Everybody say one generation. One generation had it, the other lost it. Not because it wasn't available, but because other things begin to come in and take the place of the blessing of the Lord. And sometimes we are so blessed, we take it for granted. Much like our nation. We take for granted. Even the size of our large cups, they were just freaked out about it. We ordered a drink and we got this tub of drink. And the food portions, wow. Okay, we're a blessed nation. Now here's the thing about this generation that didn't walk in the blessings of Jacob's generation. It's not they didn't know of God. They knew of the Lord, but they didn't know him personally. And I'm afraid we're living in a time where people know of Jesus, but they want nothing to do with him. As a matter of fact, you watch some of the man on the street interviews, and one guy, he just gets in a busy intersection. He just asks people, do you know Jesus is your Lord? Do you love Jesus? Are you serve Jesus? And people, the vast majority, now what about? No, get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with that. Of all ages. Every once in a while, you'll walk by a person and be like, yes, I do. I know Jesus is Lord. But the numbers are far outweighing those that don't and don't want nothing to do with it. And people look at, oh, I don't want to fool with anything to do with Jesus. Right. And this is in like all over. It's amazing. Then we go on to verse 11. Then the children of Israel, imagine this, did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, the gods of Baal. Verse 12, they forsook the Lord their God of the fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. So in other words, Israel began, I'm not trying to be politically correct here, okay? Israel began to let any and everybody just come into their land. And when they come into their land, they didn't say, hey, we're a land that worships Jesus, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They allowed them to bring their gods in there. And then all of a sudden, they started serving their gods. Instead of saying, no, we're a nation of God, and we will serve no king but King Jesus. It's quiet in here this morning. Are you with me? And they bowed down to these false gods, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Go ahead and put up the next note. The first sign of a nation that is about to collapse isn't the economical or political arena. It is the moral and spiritual decline. A nation cannot collapse under the blessing and full acknowledgement of God. It can't. It's not possible to collapse with the full blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. You'll go through some things and be tempted, yes, but you will not be defeated, you will not be collapsed when you're walking in the Lord's blessings. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. The only way America can ever collapse is if we get away from the morals and standards of the Word of God. Right. And where are we headed to right now? Being shoved down your children's throats. being shoved everywhere in society, and anywhere you walk out now, you got to see the filth of the world and the sins on display now. God help us. Amen. Now, the next note, go ahead and put it up. Every generation must choose God. That's a very simple statement, but it's very true. The generation that is not of my generation, if we go by even the 40 years, or especially if we go by, what was the other ones? Not the 70, 80, I ain't there yet. I'm well on my way, but I ain't there yet, okay? But the family age, if it's 25 to 30 years, there's a lot of you, I'm almost into a third generation watching them. Every generation in and of itself has to choose God. You cannot ride the coattails of the other generation before you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior one-on-one with Him. And once you do that, you have to become the generation now that leads America back to God. It's not get saved where I can go to heaven. That's wonderful. But it's get saved now. What do I do with it while I'm here on earth in my generation? Are you with me? This thing keeps sliding back. Okay, there we go. Turn to your neighbor and say, every generation. Now, who of you today is sitting beside a person that's 20 years younger than you? Raise your hand up if you got a person that's 20 years younger than you. All right, look at them right in the eye and say, what's your generation going to do? What's your generation going to do? Now, if you're 20 years and younger and you're sitting by an older person, look at them and say, what are you setting an example of? See, this thing goes both ways, everybody. The older generation always likes to blame the younger generation. Look at them ignorant people over here. Well, little whoopersnapper. Some of them's that way because you led them down that path. If we want the next generation to be blessed, they don't just need to know, hey, we were blessed, we are blessed, and we bless you. How many of you were here last Sunday? Listen, that was no small thing that took place in here last Sunday. We had every kid come out of children's church, get with the family. If the fathers were here, we told the fathers, you declare the priestly blessing over your house. And then we had the wives join in and declare it over them. And then I had the whole family declare it over them. Well, why did you do the whole family? Because it's generational. Because that child needed to hear your dad say it. That child needed to see mom and dad unified in saying it. And then that child needs to learn how to say it for him and herself and to the next generation. Because see, we're living in this thing now of, well, it's, you know, I'm here, but it's y'all's responsibility to constantly feed me God. Well, we're going to feed you God, but we expect you to be self-feeding after a while. And once you learn to feed yourself, we expect you now to feed somebody else. And unfortunately, though, it's like it's been stopped. Amen. While Israel was under Joshua's leadership and the elders' leadership of that generation, they were blessed. But the next generation forgot God. God didn't go anywhere. They just chose not to acknowledge Him. I'll show you this here in just a little bit again. How many know right now? Let me just say it like this. Under the old generational system that we had set up in America, parents would get together and marry in holy matrimony. Holy matrimony. They wouldn't live together. They didn't shack up. They lived together. They courted. They did courtship back then, and then they married, and then they began to produce kids, and they brought the kids to church with them, raised the kids in church, took the kids to church. They took the family, the dad would take the family to church, and then when those kids were raised up into the church, serving and seeing it not just at church, but in their home, not just at church, in their home, they saw mom and dad live it. They saw mom and dad in their Bible. They saw mom and dad worshiping. They saw mom and dad out witnessing. They saw mom and dad doing the works of the Lord every day. Even going to their secular jobs, they seen a good, hardworking persons. And their children raised their children like that. And their children raised their children like that. And it was a generational blessing in America for many years. But somewhere around the 50s, and especially going into the 60s, we begin to get selfish. and drugs and deviations from the Word of God begin to come into America, some from outside, some from inside. And now the new pattern is parents are trying to get their kids to go to church. And the kids may be made to go to church for a season, but as soon as the kid can split, now the kids don't raise kids anymore. They split from the church. It used to be a generational blessings of church, 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 serve, 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 God, 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 moral standards, that. Now all of a sudden it's like parents and grandparents are still trying, but some of the kids and some of the grandkids and the great-grandkids now could care less about church, could care less about the Word of God, could care less about their eternal salvation. Well, they're going to care less until they actually get to it. Then they're going to wish they would have listened and responded. Can I have a better amen? Now, there's an old saying, and I think it's true, and I didn't have time to look up who said it. Freedom is always one generation away. Just because we're enjoying freedom right now together as a church to read the Bible, to have a say-so, that doesn't mean that your children can see it, or your great-grand or your grandkids can see it. It can be gone within a matter of a few weeks. So that was Joshua's generation. The next note says, your generation. What is your generation? If your generation is the pattern for America and the church, how good is it going to be? How strong is the church going to be under your generation's beliefs? How strong and the morals and standards of the Word of God are going to continue to flow inside the church, inside the house, inside society, inside of all the things going on? Or is it going to go the way of the world in your generation? Because here's the thing, listen to me now, you get to choose. You have 100% ability to choose right now still in America what you want to do with Jesus. Good preaching, amen, I'll help you. Again, our greatest threat is not from outside. It's from forgetting the things of God and the blessings of this nation. And when truth is, and everybody say truth. Truth has been labeled in two categories now. Well, really, they're trying to just get to one category called relevant truth. Relevant truth, the pure definition of relevant truth is, if I think it's true, then it's true. That's what relevant truth is. Everybody say absolute truth. Absolute truth means the Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't matter what I think or feel. Amen? Oh, you are up here way too early, but keep playing. Truth. There's relevant truth, which is no truth at all. There is only one truth. Everybody say absolute truth. Now, here's the kicker. You go up and ask most Christians if the Bible is absolute truth, and over half right now, last survey, over half of people who confess to be a child of God says the Bible is not absolute truth anymore. And we wonder why our nation is decaying morally in character. We've taken the Word of God and said, well, I don't think it really applies that much here. I'd rather go with the modern day truth of if it feels good, do it. As long as it doesn't go out, you're good. Let me tell you something, folks. That's going to make a lot of people go to hell. You're on a train headed straight there. Do not pass, go, do not collect $200. Just lickety split. And by the way, hell is an absolute truth. It's there, it's real. But when absolute truth goes to relevant truth, this one word is what Satan's after in that, to the next generation's mindset, and that is confusion. To get you to question God, to get you confused about, is God real? And if it's real, why did he say this? He must have said that because he don't love you and want the best for you. He's trying to hold you down. Why would he do that? Why does bad thing happen to good people in this world if God's so good? Number one, we're in a fallen, sinful world. That's why bad things happen to everybody. This is not a permanent home. Your life is temporary here, but you have an eternal life if you know Jesus to be with him forever. If you don't know Jesus, it's separation in a place called hell. That's the truth. But that's not popular now. Because that might hurt someone's feelings. That might go against what someone's living their life like. And who are you to tell me how to live my life? I'm not. The Word is. I'm just going to tell you what the Word says. Satan is the author of confusion. Everything in the Bible is true. Go ahead and put up the next note real quick. Sin absolutely destroys, watch this, first the family. Listen to me now. Satan's first priority is not the church. It's your family. It's your marriage. It's your kids. It's you, you and your spouse. If you've got kids, it's you, your spouse, and your kids. And if you got kids that have kids, it's them too. That's Satan's number one priority. Destroy the Christian family. Because if he can destroy the Christian family, he gets into every other aspect of a society and a nation. It goes from family into your communities. Now your communities will start celebrating things that are not of God. Your community will begin to accept things that are not of God. And when a community begins to do that, it filters down. Let's teach the kids this in school. Let's teach it to them in kindergarten. Let's teach it to them in elementary. Let's teach it. Let's make sure our colleges are full of crap. You in here? Yep, crap. And then out of all of that, guess what makes up churches? Families, communities, and schools. That's what's represented here today. Your family, your community, your school system is here today. And when the school's teaching one thing all week, they come in here for about 35, 40 minutes, hear something different, I'm confused. And when the family's disoriented at home and not stable and not walking in what they say they truly are, that child grows up very confused. And they'll go usually with what they hear the most. We get you here for an hour and a half on Sunday. Schools and everywhere else has you all day long. More than any other time you're spent. And then because the churches are still in existence in America, thank God, the churches determine how a nation goes. Come on now. All the churches in America have determined how America's going to go. Can I have a better amen? I'm going to preach on that here in just a little bit. Well, let me just go ahead and do that now. The city I grew up in, the big city, the metropolitan of Fallville, just voted to go wet. I remember back a few years ago when Coleman voted to go wet. And I will stand here, stood there back then and told you what happened. And I'll stand here today and tell you what happened both in Coleman and in Decatur and in Fallville that has churches on every corner. None of these places voted to go wet unless the church went in there and voted it in. Or the church did not bother enough to go vote against it. Either way, it's the reason alcohol is involved in all of our lives now. It's because the church put it in there or allowed it to go in there. Well, brother, you know the Bible says this, and I protect it. Let me just tell you something. I have never had a person come into my office, get on my couch, and tell me how much alcohol has blessed them. Not one time. Pastor, this alcohol has blessed me and my family. It's blessed my marriage. It's blessed my job. It has blessed my health. It has blessed us so much, we got to just brag on it. I've never heard that. Let me tell you what I have heard. I never meant it to go there. I mean, we just did it socially. It wasn't even the hard stuff. It was the little stuff. What happened then? Well, some pressure at work got on me. I lost my job, and then so-and-so, this happened in my life, and somebody passed away, and, one became two, and two became four, and four became six, and before I know it, I lost my job, I lost my health, I lost my marriage, and then I got in a wreck and killed somebody. Oh, but it's okay. It's tax dollars. I don't know whose life is worth your tax dollars, but I ain't got nobody I want to see. And I never met anybody that started out going, boy, I hope I turn into an alcoholic. I can't wait. Everybody thought they could handle it. until they couldn't. And the church says, here it is. Good luck with it. The church determines a nation. The church determines a nation. Until the church doesn't have a voice. And when the church doesn't have a voice, the nation is already fallen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. What does? Not unrighteousness, not filth, not sin, not perversion. Righteousness exalts a nation. And watch this. But sin is a reproach to any people. There is a reproach to our actions that we may suffer the consequence. You may not personally, but your neighbor might. Your next generation might suffer them, but we don't care about the next generation anymore. It's all about what can I get while I'm here. Let me show you what I think is probably the most prophetic word for America right now. And I really don't want to call it a prophetic word, but it's a description. And it was in Rome at the time. And it's Romans chapter 1. And I don't have time to read all of it, but I am going to read from verse 21 to verse 32. And see if this doesn't sound like a familiar pattern that America has found herself in. Go ahead and put it up. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and what?
Confused.
Who's the author of confusion? Absolutely. How many thinks that sounds like some of the generations we got going on now? Go ahead with the next verse. Claiming themselves to be wise, come on, I have a PhD in psychology. I'm a psychology major. I'm a social major. I'm an internet keyboard warrior major. I'm a set in my parents' basement major. I am more wise than you. I am too wise to believe the fairy tales of a Bible. Professing themselves to be wise, instead, they became, watch this now, utter fools. Only a fool would say in his heart, there is no God. Next scripture. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. What are we seeing now on college campuses and high schools? I'm a cat, meow. I want to go to the bathroom in a litter box. And do you know some of them's putting litter boxes in there for them? Are y'all mature enough to handle something? You see, the problem in America is we medicate the demons now instead of casting them out. We medicate people with drugs, psychotic drugs, instead of saying you've got a mental illness and a spiritual illness. And we can cast that out in the name of Jesus, and your mind will be clear to know you're not a cat. Guys, listen to me now. That's not just mental illness. That's spiritual. That's demonic. I'm going to cut body parts off. That's demonic. But in America, it's just take a pill. And what's funny, when I go to different places overseas, they don't have these drugs over there. They don't have the, quote, mental health problems in other countries that we have. Why? Because it's not mental health problems, it's demonic problems. We used to call it, some things we used to call mental illness, we now say, oh, that's fine. We need to affirm them. I know it's not popular, but I'm not here to be popular. Never have been. Go ahead with the next verse. Now watch this. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. Anybody see that happening now? And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Touch your neighbor and say, it's in the Bible. It's nothing new. It's in the Bible. Look what they would do. See if it sounds familiar. Next verse. They traded the truth about God for a lie. Somebody say, imagine that. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Next verse. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Everybody say shameful desires. Now watch this. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, talking about with a man, and instead indulged in sex with each other. I didn't know that was in the Bible. There it is. Well, I just don't believe that's absolute truth, because I believe that love is love no matter who it's to or who it's through. You're wrong. This is absolute truth, because he's the creator. It's his creation. He gets to decide what's right. Don't mean you got to like it, but it doesn't mean it's not true. Next verse. And the men, lest we be left out, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, now watch this, as a result of this, come on, let's say it together, as a result of this sin, as a result of this mental challenge prospect of their own nature, who's walking through just a confused agenda right now, take this pill and determine what you need to be. Doesn't say that. It says sin. Let me make sure I read that right. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Oh, that's so cruel. No. You know how you don't suffer that? Get right with God. I don't know how to put it, Elliot. Live like God says live, and you don't have to worry about that. Next verse. So since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things they should never do. They should never do. Shouldn't be bit. Next verse. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Just go on social media, you see all that. Next verse. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. Goes back to the next generation, to their parents. They disobey their parents. Like I said, in today's time, we have a lot of parents raising them up, and they've fallen away. Next verse. They refuse to understand. Everybody say they refuse to understand. Let me show you the proof of this. A man that claims he's a woman. You're not. Oh, yes, I am. No, you're not. When you die, doesn't matter what you've cut off and what you've put on, we go to your grave, we're going to dig you up. Your DNA is going to declare man or woman, because there's only two genders. Just because you say it, don't make it true. Now, let me tell you something. There is not a doubt in my mind, they know deep down somewhere that they are living in something that's not reality. They understand, but they refuse to understand. God created you. No, he didn't. Whatever. But I am not going to affirm something that God says is not right. Now, let me also tell you something the church needs to understand. Just as I am not allowed to affirm that level of stupidity and demonic activity, I am not also allowed by the Word of God to hate them. I don't hate them, but I will never affirm that. And I'm not going to walk in your deception, and I'm not going to walk in your lie. I understand the truth. They break their promises. They're heartless and have no mercy. Next verse. Now watch this. Here's where we want to get to. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. We've preached. If you don't serve, if you don't have accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and serve Him and live for Him and surrender your life to Him, you will die and go to hell. Bring it on, they say. Because I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to please my flesh if I want to. And I may know that and I don't receive it, and I'm just going to walk away from it. And everybody has the choice to do that. Now watch this. They do the things they deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. They know the end results. Most of them have heard enough to know that there's a place called hell in America. Not in America, but you know. Well, there's some places it might get close. There's some places that hell's definitely controlling right now. But watch what the Bible says. Yet worse. What could be worse than someone denying the blood of Jesus who died for their sins and live on purpose a sinful life, saying, yes, I'll go to hell for this. Yet worse, they encourage others to do it. See, what's happening is, listen to me now, ungodliness has become their gospel. Sin, perversion, hatred, anger, that is their religion. That is their gospel. And here's the problem right now. They're preaching it and reaching the next generation better than the church is. Oh, don't shout me down. Why? Because they are proud of their sin. They want other people to come into their sin. While we come to church and can't make it through an hour session and complain about it and go home and live like hell the rest of our week. Well, that's not popular preaching. It may be decent, but it ain't popular. Go ahead and put up the next note. The church, once again, must become the watchman's voice. Guys, this is happening. Look at me. This is happening on our watch. That next generation's being lost on our watch. While we come to church and punch the feel-good card and go and live the rest of our life through the week, and our kids can't even tell we're saved. We cannot afford to remain silent while the darkness advances its agenda in our nation and to our kids and to our kids' kids. And as long as we stay silent and punch our Sunday morning religious card, the next generation will fade away into that. The Bible says you're a light, a city on a hill. Can I have a better amen? Again, how did these counties go wet? How did Thoughtful just go wet with all the churches right there? It's amazing. Real quickly, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 through 9. Now, son of man, I am making you a watchman. And I want to declare that to you today. If you're sitting under my voice, we're making you watchmen today. And watchman is not just a gender. It's every person in here. I'm making you a watchman for the people of Israel, and we're making you a watchman for the people of America. For the people in Morgan County and Coleman County. For the people in your school. For the people at your job. For the people in your family. For the people that's in your sphere of influence. We make you a watchman today. Now, you're probably going to turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to be a watchman. You want to know why you don't want to be a watchman? Because you'd be accountable to it now. But too late, you done heard the gospel. Too late. You're a watchman for the people of our area in Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. Me, there's God. Next verse. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die, and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins, and I, God Almighty, he says, I will hold you responsible for their death. Touch your neighbor and say, get you some of that. See, that takes away your religious spirit that says, I just want to be a Sunday Christian. I just want to come punch the time card where I can show God I did the thing this week, God. I'm too embarrassed to speak up about you, God. I'm ashamed of your gospel, God. Nobody else wants to hear this. I might be made fun of, God, and I don't want to be made fun of by the world. Don't shout me down. But I do have some good news for you. Next verse. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. Yeah. Not your job to save them, but it is your job to tell them, this is not right, says the Lord. It's not says me. Homosexuality is a sin because Jesus says so. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But let me just tell you something. That seems to be the church's pet peeve. Gotta get them homosexuals. Can I tell you, any sex outside of marriage is just as sinful? Sex before marriage, sin. Sex outside your marriage, sin. Quiet. But if you've repented, you now need to tell somebody else, hey, I understand, I've been there, done that, made the mistake, but I repented from it, and I stand forgiven and on my way to heaven, and all I'm in doing is inviting you to do the same thing. Now listen to me now. We are to go to them with love, not anger. They'll know us by our love. But truth sets you free, not a watered-down version of it. Not a compromised version of it. The compromised, watered-down version will send you to hell real quick. But it's the truth in love. See, when I received the truth of God about my own personal life going to hell, I didn't receive an angry God. I didn't get it from a God going, I hate you, you're sorry, you're scum, and I don't even know if I want you up here. But bless God, if you'll believe in me, I'll take you on. No, he was just calling me. You know, I didn't die for you to live this way. If you want to be eternal, come to me. I love you. And I love you so much, I'll forgive you from your past, and I won't bring it up again. Now, the other Christians probably will. And your neighbors might, but I won't. I'll throw it in a sea of forgetfulness. And that's the message we got to get out there. But don't let it come into your schools. Don't let it come into your house. And for that to happen, you can't let it come into you. Somebody say, it starts with me. Now, I want to drive this last point home. Go ahead and put it up. The war for our nation will not be won in Washington. Can you hear me? The war for this nation's survival will not be won from Washington, D.C. At least not until it's won first in your and my heart, the heart of God's people. When we start defeating the enemy of our life, and we start living our best life that we can to this Bible and learning, and if we fail, we repent and we get up and we learn how to defeat that, and we pass that on to our kids and we put them in it where they will want to make it a part of their life and keep this generational thing going, then we will have a government that represents the people of God. Because we will raise up godly mayors, yes, godly school boards, godly senate, godly congress, godly presidents. Yes. But can I tell you, listen to me now, it is not the government's job to lead the nation into all things godly and revival. That is not their role. That is the role of the church. Their role is to protect the people, protect the borders, and have infrastructure. Strong military and infrastructure. And railroads, supposedly. When's the last time you ever seen a new railroad cut? And bridges. It's not there. We are not electing a pastor to be president. But the Christians will be like, oh, he's got this, or he's got this, or she's got that. Oh, I can't vote for somebody like that. But you'll vote for somebody who's going to push abortion down your throat, push homosexual into your schools and your everywhere else. Revival starts here. The turning of a nation starts here. And it don't happen overnight. It has to be strategically planned generation to generation. Now listen, why do you think America got to where it's at? Because this plan that we're operating in right now of all the unholiness, the immorality, the communist type mentality now trying to take into America, do you know when that started? It started in 1940. That's the root that they put into plan, a plan to take America out one family at a time, to destroy the church and destroy the church's voice. To bring in the sex, drugs, and rock and roll eras into the 60s and get out of that people that got more on LSD than they did the Word of God. And to begin to compromise the faith just a little. And then they knew their kids would compromise a little more and theirs would compromise a little more. And then that next generation would be totally compromised and walk away, no matter what mom and dad do. They think generationally. We think pleasure for the moment. Amen. So my question to you today is, who are you looking to turn our nation into a godly nation 100% again? Because if you're looking to the government, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But if you look inside yourself and say, it can start with me, and it can start with the way I raise my family and what goes on in my house, and then it'll start with me into my school systems, into my workplace, into my church, and we won't compromise. We'll stand up in love and proclaim the truth of the gospel, that without Jesus Christ, no man's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I can get there through this and Baal and Muhammad. I'm sorry. I know that's feel-goodism, and I know you've been told that, but the Word of God declares Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one is going to come to the Father except through Jesus. And I'd love for you to meet this Jesus, and I would ask this Jesus to reveal himself to you mightily. If you'll seek him, you will find him. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Make sure you come back next week, because this is just the opener. Next week's going to get better. We're going to get more warring next week. Yes, warring is a word. But just bow your heads real quickly. If you're here this morning, the primary goal for every service we have is for you to understand that you cannot save yourself if you've not been forgiven for your sins and you haven't got a Savior. That you don't just pick one out of the bunch, but that you know and understand that Jesus Christ is the only one who loved you enough to give up his position in heaven, come to earth, take on the form as a man, suffer, bleed, die, be beaten and shredded, and go to the cross to die for you because he loves you so much. And he's not here to condemn you. He's here to free you today. And I promise you, if you surrender your life to him, you're going to live for eternity with Jesus Christ. And he'll have a purpose for your life while you're here on the rest of the earth. And if you've never surrendered, we don't ask you to join church today. We're not worried about that right now. God will plant you as he desires, the Bible says. But we just want to make sure that you don't leave here without the opportunity of repenting of your sins and getting your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you're not going to be religious today. You're not going to join a religion. You're not going to join a church. You're going to repent, as the Bible says, repent and ask Jesus Christ to come in and surrender your life to him and ask him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. If that's you right there on those terms, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I don't want to leave here today without knowing where I'm going to spend eternity. If that's you, just lift your hand high. Anyone? All right. Right there? Yeah, right there. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray with our new brother in Christ real quick. And I want everybody to pray together as a family. Amen. Come on, say this with me. Say,
Dear Jesus,
thank you for being with me today. I hear your voice. It is calling me to your salvation. And I want to declare a truth I know right now. I'm not good enough to save myself. But Jesus, I believe with all my heart that you are the Christ. You are the one and only Son of God. And you came to earth and you lived and you died for my sins to forgive me and make me clean. And right now, Jesus, I repent. I ask you to forgive my whole past. I bring my whole self to you. And I surrender everything about me to you right now, Jesus. And I ask you, and I know you will, come into my heart, come into my life, everything about me, and be my Lord and my Savior. I believe it right now, and I receive you by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And today, I declare out of my own mouth, I am now officially a child of Jesus Christ, a part of the kingdom of God on earth. And I declare I will serve you and grow and learn for the rest of my life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, give him glory in this house. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.